right, welcome back. We're looking forward to having some time with Dr. Barber here. We're following along on the church Facebook page, so if you have a question that you'd like me to ask him, I'd be happy to ask that. Before we get into question and answers, let me just tell you that the plan for next week's services is exactly the same as this week's services. So we'll offer a service at 8 a.m. and 11 o'clock next Sunday. Those will be in-person services. You will need to register at worthbc.org before you come. Strict social distancing will be in place, and so we'll do everything just like we did it today. The Sunday evening service next week will be online only, and I would also encourage you to get on the live stream this Wednesday, as we have a live stream only Wednesday evening prayer study or prayer meeting and Bible study as well. And so everything next week will continue just as we did it today. It was a wonderful day in God's house. Two powerful messages, wonderful worship services with folks in the house this morning, and we're looking forward to doing it all again. And then as the weeks go by, we will reassess. We'll see where we are. We'll take a look at all of the statistics from Tarrant County and Dallas County, and we'll figure out what would be the best strategy for us to take in going through phase two and phase three and ultimately getting to phase five in our reopening plan and getting things back together. Well, Dr. Barber, thank you again for being with us today and preaching God's word again. The Lord used the messages in a great way. And this May Fellowship Week is always a wonderful week for us to fellowship with other preachers. I know our church always benefits immensely from it. We're going to miss doing it this year, and it'll be the first year in some time you haven't been at a fellowship meeting this particular week.
Yeah, almost 70 years.
Wow.
So I'll be lost this week. You got something I can do?
I bet we can find something.
I bet you can do.
Well, one thing you can do.
I sweep a floor. I guarantee you that.
That's right. One thing you can do is you can celebrate your wedding anniversary.
That's right.
You and Mrs. Barber, 69 years. Congratulations.
69. Dr. J. Frank Norris tied the knot.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how you and Mrs. Barber met, and then a little bit about your wedding, if you would.
Well, I came from Danville, Virginia, to the Bible Baptist Seminary. She came from West Texas to the seminary looking for a husband. She got her MRS. She got her degree after studying for 3 years like I did. But anyway, strangely enough, we met in a strange place. We met on an elevator. I stepped on her foot, and she fell for me. And she's been falling ever since. We got acquainted. I don't have any boyfriends she left in West Texas, but I left a girlfriend in Virginia. But you know, when I saw her, I thought, that's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. And she still is.
Amen.
Almost 90 years old, but she still is. So that's how we met. And of course, when she stepped on another elevator, guess who was on the elevator? Dr. J. Frank Norris. Well, Norris knew me from my childhood because my dad had him over for Bible conferences frequently. So he had his cane with him, and he knocked it down in the floor of the elevator and said, "Now, when you marry that Barber boy, I'm going to marry you." Well, what could she say but, okay. That's all you could say to, you know, you wouldn't say to Norris, no. But anyway, they set it all up, and he married us 69 years ago this coming Wednesday, May the 20th.
Amen.
And
what a wonderful
that's
story.
How it happened.
Amen. Amen. Well, he tied the knot well 69 years later.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Talk a little bit about the role that Mrs. Barber has played not only in your life but in your ministry, some of the ways that she has helped you, and then also some of the things that she has done to serve the Lord throughout the years in her life.
Well, she's been my number one fan for all these years. She supported everything that I felt that the Lord wanted me to do, and I searched it through, and she prayed about it. When she felt the Lord leading me to do what he wanted me to do, then she fell right in, cooperated, supported me, sacrificed a great deal to help me in some other ways, getting through school and getting other degrees in education and so forth. But she's always been in the background. She's never been up front, quote unquote. She stayed in the background, helped people, encouraged people. She has done more behind the scenes than I could ever explained to you, not only to help me personally, but to help the ministry of the church. I mean, she was there from day one when I became pastor and served for 35 years, and then these, 50 years as the pastor emeritus. And she's never let up. I mean, when she didn't feel like going, bless her heart, she went anyhow. Encouraged me to go. When I got discouraged, I just had to look at her. And if I didn't straighten up, I looked a second time. But no, she always had a great word of encouragement. She never tried to put me down. She never tried to make me feel small. But she built me up in the things of the Lord and encouraged me greatly. And throughout the church's ministries, behind the scenes, she did a lot of things that people never knew about. And she's never been one to put herself on to anybody or to be out front. She loves people, and people love her. But she's kept her place, and she's done a great work, been a great inspiration, not only to me, but to others. She taught the English courses and business courses for 25 years. And frequently, we have a student who will call or write a letter or something to her and say something like, well, now, Ms. Barber, I know that you didn't think I really wanted to take your English class, and honestly, I didn't want to. And I didn't think it was necessary. I was going to study the Bible. But now they'll say that I'm pastoring and moving on in my ministry. I found out how important English is to knowing and learning the Bible. That's right. And to preach and teach and influence others. So that's been her role. She's played a great role. Amen. Done a marvelous job. I could not have asked for anything more.
You know, and I hope you married couples out there, or those who aspire to be married one day, are listening very carefully to those words. It's one thing to read a marriage book by someone who's been married for a couple of years. Yeah. Another thing to hear someone who's been married for 69 years talk about the kind of oneness marriage that he and his wife have had and how they've encouraged one another. And if I take anything away from what Dr. Barber just said about Mrs. Barber, there's a lot to take from it. I take this. You have enough critics in life without turning yourself into your husband or your wife's critic. Your husband or wife has enough critic without you being a critic. Be an encourager, be a supporter, be a champion for them. And I can see Dr. and Mrs. Barber doing that for each other over the years, encouraging and helping one another. That's a great word. One of our members is asking Dr. Barber, what do you think God might be trying to do through this pandemic?
Well, God, nothing skips or goes by God's sight. He knows everything that's going on. And when God doesn't necessarily ordain something to be done, he permits it to be done. And in so doing, he reveals what time it is. Yeah. And I don't think we need to look for any sign for the rapture. It could happen while we're sitting here. You don't need any more signs. But there are signs for the Antichrist taking over. But the glorious part about it all, the blessed thing is, he will not take over until we've been taken up.
Amen.
And we're out of the way. And God, I believe, is showing us with things like the virus and other things that are happening in governments all over the world, especially in Israel, the things that are happening there, how they have maintained to keep their borders and to keep their statehood with all of the millions of people around them and nations around them that hate them and would destroy them if they could. But God's not through with Israel. He's still using that to show to the world that this is his representative people, and he's going to put them through the tribulation that they might get refined to move them over into the kingdom age. They've got to be refined as a nation. Israel will be saved in a day, the Bible says. They'll be saved during this time of tribulation, 7 years, time of Jacob's trouble. And they will be refined to go over into the millennium. And God, I believe, using the virus to show us that the end time is near. That's why I always say, keep looking up. Jesus is coming.
Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Yes. I know we're all ready for that. One of our young men who is a preacher is asking here on the Facebook feed, tell us about your first sermon, Dr. Barber. When did you preach your first sermon?
My first sermon. Well, actually, I preached my first sermon when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
But I didn't go into the ministry until I was 18. But one of the first sermons that I can remember, as soon as I got through school, I went back to Danville and worked with my dad. And the week after I got back, he left for 2 weeks. He had a daily radio broadcast, Sunday broadcast, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And he said, now, son, you'll either sink or swim. It's all yours for 2 weeks. Well, we were going through. We're trying to clean out our closet. You would not believe, and this is beside the point, but you wouldn't believe all of the things that we dragged out of the closet, many things that we threw away that we thought we just had to have, you know, but we found out we didn't. But anyhow, we found old fundamentalists, old searchlights, old Baptist Gospel Messenger, which was my dad's paper name, one of them in there that we haven't really uncovered yet, the Messenger, is dated in 1935 when my mother died, and it names 12 Baptist preachers that had part in her funeral, mm-hmm. and 6 medical doctors that were pallbearers. Mm-hmm. But I've said all that to set the stage. We found also, dated January the 5th, 1950, in my dad's paper, another barber enters the ministry. So I was off to Fort Worth.
Wow.
And so here I am. But in 1952, now I never could type much. I still don't type. I mean, I hunt and peck if I had a typewriter, but I do nothing on the computer. I don't touch the computer. I don't dare touch the computer. I had typed up on a piece of paper, not as large as the piece that you have in your hand there, an outline for the first sermon I preached at the Tabernacle, my dad's church, 1952. And we framed that, and we framed that other paper. And we have turned over to the school, to Jonathan Stewart, the president, hundreds of articles and things. And we found, for example, one box that had about 100 booklets of sermons, each individually, by Dr. Norris. Mm. We'd forgotten we had them. Mm. He's going to use them. He's going to give them to students and pass them out to preachers and send things. And we found 20-some cassette tapes by Dr. Norris that we turned over to school. It'll all be perpetuated that way. It's not going to do anybody any good in our closet. And we're gone. Whoever comes in to clean up, they're going to drag that stuff out of there and throw it away. Mm. It'll be gone in no time in a dumpster somewhere. But anyway, all of that to say that the very, very first week, 2 weeks, I had the whole load put on me, but I survived it, and here I am almost 70 years later.
Now, people love to hear about the early days of Worth Baptist Church. And one of the questions that was asked on the Facebook feed tonight is, tell us about your first Sunday as pastor of Worth Baptist Church.
Wow. Well, I was only 27 years old. I followed my brother Bob, of course, and things were going quite well. We didn't have any money on hand. We had a fairly good-sized congregation, and the first Sunday, I preached on God is looking for a man, and I tried to apply that to myself, that God found one. That would become pastor, would assume the reins and go ahead and pastor the church. It was a very exciting time, a thrilling time. We saw the church begin to grow and develop. We enlarged the auditorium from both ends. It was just one straight auditorium and had room in the back and room in the lobby. We took up basically most of the lobby and enlarged it, and God blessed until we in 1976, came over and built this building. And all of the early days, I put into practice what I had learned at the feet of my daddy and Dr. Norris. They were both men that influenced me greatly. My daddy used to say, "Now, son, you're going to be a preacher. I want you to dress like a preacher. I want you to look like a preacher. I want you to walk like a preacher, talk like a preacher, act like a preacher, and preach like a preacher." So sometimes people don't quite understand. If I go to some event and I'm dressed up, I'm a preacher. I'm going to dress up. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. I mean, God bless them, but here I am, and I'll be dressed up. But anyway, I'm saying all that to say, when you have something instilled in you, rooted in you and grounded in you, things that are based on the Word of God and on experience. And Dr. Norris had that experience. My dad had that experience. My dad started the first radio broadcast in 1932 and went for 70 years. 78 years, wasn't it? Yeah. And daily broadcast, 78 years. But when Bob died, the broadcast died. Somebody said, "Well, why don't one of the brothers take it? You know, I have two brothers that are preachers now." And no. The radio station manager said, no. That was Bob Barber's program, and that's it. So anyway, the radio broadcast doesn't exist. But I'm saying all that. He's helped to start 50 independent Baptist churches.
Wow.
And 100 young men went out of his ministry to enter the ministry. He had a third grade education.
Mm.
But when he stood to preach, God came on the scene.
Mm.
And when God comes on the scene, he can override a lot of stuff. And he did. And my dad built. We were running over 1,000 in the Sunday school before the days of mega churches and buses and all. No, none of that stuff. We had to have a few buses for adults to ride. They all worked in the cotton mill and they didn't have cars. So they rode city buses to get to work. And we rented some of those buses. And Daddy did, and brought the people into church.
Mm.
Adults, families, no other way to get there. You can do what you have to do, you know? And God blesses when you do what you're supposed to do. Well, God's good.
Amen, amen. I love hearing him talk about the people that influenced him, that invested in him, that laid a biblical and theological and philosophical groundwork in his life that he's been building on ever since. And that's an encouragement to all of the young preachers out there who are being influenced by people. You're developing a ministry philosophy. Hopefully you're getting a firm and solid theological foundation for your life. And you're going to dig a deep well and you're going to draw from that well for the rest of your life. And that's exactly what Dr. Barber did. And I know I speak not only for preachers all over America, I speak for the people of Worth Baptist Church when I say that Dr. and Mrs. Barber are mentors and role models to us. We look up to you. We admire you. We really do appreciate the investment that you've made in this church and in our lives. And we thank God for you. You've made an impact on our lives.
Thank you,
and we
Pastor.
Love you both.
Thank you, sir.
We hope you have a very happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for two powerful messages today and
thank
for
you.
Taking the time to answer some questions. I love hearing you preach just as much. I love time. Asking questions, getting answers, hearing about how God has worked in your life.
Well, I appreciate that, Pastor.
And I will carry these memories with me forever.
We know that God's going to continue to use you, and we praise God for you and your family and your life.
Well, thank you.
Your ministry, your dedication. And, you know, youth has its advantages. I started pastoring a church, as I said, when I was 27. You were what, 30?
Let's see, 32.
32. Well, you don't have to let anybody despise. What did Paul say to young Timothy? Let no man despise your youth.
That's right.
So just keep on going, son.
Amen.
And keep the iron hot.
Amen.
And keep the pulpit hot. And keep your knees worn out.
Amen.
And keep looking up.
Amen.
Because Jesus is coming soon.
Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. I think that'd be a very appropriate way to close this time together. And then we hope you all have a wonderful week, and we'll see you on Wednesday night here on the live stream, okay? Father in heaven, thank you for everything that we've experienced today. I thank you for the joy of having people in the worship services today. Thank you for good services at 8, 11, and 6 o'clock. I have felt your spirit move in my heart and in many hearts today. Thank you for Dr. and Mrs. Barber, the influence for you they've been upon all of us, the impact they've made on their lives, the testimony of faithfulness to each other, to the ministry, and to you. And may we follow in that train. I pray that every married couple that has watched this interview would determine in their hearts that if the Lord allows them to live, that they're going to make it to 69 years and be just as much in love as Dr. and Mrs. Barber are. I pray that every Christian that has been watching this interview would say, I want to come to my race, and I hope Dr. and Mrs. Barber live for many, many more years. But as I come to the final laps, the fourth quarter of my life, I hope to finish the way that they finished in faithfulness and love for Christ. For the young preachers who may be watching, I pray that some things have happened in their hearts today. That they've said, I want to preach the book like this man preaches it. I want to take a strong stand, but I want to do it with love. I want to be faithful to my wife, faithful to the church that God has given me to pastor. I want to do what God has called me to do with excellence. I want to live a life that glorifies and pleases Christ. Thank you again for the way that you've worked in our hearts today. And we believe that today will make an eternal impact, and we look forward to getting to heaven and seeing all that you did in hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, gentlemen.